The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
Here on Money FM 89.3, I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Lung cancer is one of the top three most common cancers in Singapore and also the leading cause of cancer death. It is recommended for people to go for early lung cancer screening if they are over the age of 40, have a history of lung cancer, smoke, or are ex-smokers, work in hazardous industries, or if they are cancer survivors. Today we find out about a high probability in the diagnosis of early stage lung growth in combination with specific tests that can result in as high as an 80% chance of cure for lung cancer. On Health Suites, coming up next on Money FM 89.3.
Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
You're on Money FM 89.3. Welcome to Health Suites. I'm Clarissa Montero. On the phone, I am joined by Dr. Anis Ahmed, Medical Director and Senior Consultant Surgeon at the International Center for Thoracic Surgery. Dr. Anis, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Clarissa.
Now, you are one of the few thoracic surgeons in Singapore who can perform the robotic thoracic surgery. So we'll find out more about that. First, lay the stage for us. Lung cancer is one of the top three most common cancers in Singapore and the leading cause of cancer death. Why do you think this is the case?
Good afternoon to all listeners. Yes, you're right. Unfortunately, lung cancer has remained the leading cause of cancer death for the last, I suppose, 3 to 4 decades. And nothing much has changed. It's not that we are not finding newer treatments for lung cancer, just that the disease is a stubborn one in terms of conquer. So if you look at the total number of people who get cancer, the volume of people who get lung cancer now has risen to the top as well, which makes it the deadliest disease in terms of presence and the capacity to kill.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is more people are getting it, and it is still as deadly as it's always been.
That is right. Not only are more people getting it, but I think because of our capacity to start to diagnose these cancers early, I think we are picking up more and more lung cancers.
I see. Okay.
Because, yeah, people go for more than chest x-rays today, you know. They also go for scans quite a bit, and so they get picked up incidentally as well.
Okay. And is that does that mean a better outcome for more patients if it's spotted early?
Absolutely. Just to lay the ground, there are 4 stages to lung cancer, 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1 is good, 4 is bad.
Mm-hmm.
So the earlier the stage, the earlier the diagnosis, the better the outcomes for you. So how do you get to an early stage is to get yourself into some form of a program which helps you in the diagnosis, i.e. a lung cancer screening program, where you go for a scan, which is basically a CT scan, but you can use something called an ultra-low-dose CT scan, which is equivalent to anywhere between 9 to 11 chest x-rays, depends on where you're getting it done. And these picks up cancers more in the early stage. And this actually translates to better survivals and outcome in patients with lung cancer.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you a question. To an extent, the answer is obvious, but what are the ways that we can reduce our risk of lung cancer? And you're going to first say, not smoke. But there are a lot of people who don't smoke who do develop lung cancer.
Difficult question, but practical reality, yes. So the traditional way is to say, yeah, all smokers, you are at a higher risk of getting cancer. Doesn't mean that you will get cancer, but mm-hmm. You are definitely at a higher risk. So if you're a smoker listening to this, you should stop. Okay. But that doesn't mean that if you also are not a non-smoker that you won't get it. It's also a completely different paradox. So if you have a family history of cancer, or if you're already a survivor from another cancer, you work in hazardous chemical industries, exposure to aromatic benzenes, toluenes, shipbuilding, spray painting, semiconductors, all these are considered what you would call higher risk areas, in areas which can contribute towards lung cancer. So occupational hazard is there. I don't want to throw a big bombshell saying that there's something in the environment, because that is very much in the research stage. Mm-hmm. But staying in a healthy environment obviously helps. So keeping yourself healthy by exercising regularly and keeping your immune system up helps in general to fight against your own cancer. These are some of the tips to stay safe from lung cancer.
Right. Okay. Now, the concept of if you have a family member, you have a a family member who did have cancer, you'd have a greater predisposition to developing a cancer yourself, kind of becomes very tricky for all of us, because at this stage in the modern world, most of us have a family member who might have had a cancer or succumbed to a cancer in quite direct line, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a parent, a sibling. That's becoming increasingly important.
Now, let me make this clear. Mm. Lung cancer has got no familial known predisposition.
Okay.
It is not familial. It is not a genetically transmissible disease. No, it is not. What I meant is that you have something in the environment which has certain mutation factors to which some people are susceptible, mostly non-smokers, which triggers something in them to develop lung cancer. Mm. So usually you find that this kind of trigger factors runs in patterns. So if somebody in your family, as close as your, i.e. mom, dad, had, then the chances are that the trigger factors are there in you and they could be triggered as well. That is what I meant by your family history. It is not familial or hereditary or genetic. It is just that the close association of these factors puts you at a higher risk. And that has been statistically shown.
All right, I understand. It is recommended for people over the age of 40 to go for early lung cancer screening. Are there certain profiles of people who should be paying more attention to this?
Yes, if you note everything down, it starts with the smokers, mm-hmm. because that is how the NLST trial, or the trial which conducted for cancer, looked at it. Then the same story which we said, past history of cancer survivor, people with cancer in the family. But I wouldn't stop at that. I would say that we must have a robust screening program. We screen for everything else, for breast, for prostate, etc. And I think we should put lung at a higher level than we are doing now and be aware that you can get lung cancer at any age. Actually, I had somebody today at the age of 40 who went for screening for something else and landed up with what looks like a lung cancer. So age is not a factor anymore. It is not an old person's disease anymore.
That's not necessarily happy news for any of us.
No, it isn't.
We're speaking with Dr. Aniz Ahmed, Medical Director and Senior Consultant Surgeon at the International Center for Thoracic Surgery. There are some new screening methods available. How does it compare with the traditional methods of screening, and is it invasive?
Okay, so once upon a time, they used to screen people with chest X-rays, which was found to be totally ineffective. Mm-hmm. And then in some countries like Japan, they have a CT scan as their regular screening protocol. Singapore, we don't have one now, but I think we are in the process of thinking through it. So now the current one is to use a low-dose CT scan, or what you would call an ultra-low-dose CT scan, where the scan is equivalent to about 7 to 9 chest X-rays in one go, and which actually, as I pointed out earlier, can pick up lung cancers at an early stage. So this is totally non-invasive. It doesn't require any injections. No dye is injected into you. It's called a low-dose non-contrast scan. The other thing which we have introduced to go along with it, which is called an early CDT lung blood test to go with the scan. It is a blood test which checks for antibodies to your own lung cancer cells. So if you have a small lesion in the lung which produces antibodies which are cancerous, this particular blood test has markers which can be measured through it. It's called an early CDT test. So we feel that combining this blood test and the ultra-low-dose CT scan gives a better chance at getting these cancers early.
You are one of the few surgeons in Singapore who can perform the robotic thoracic surgery. Is this a diagnostic surgery, or is this something to deal with a confirmed cancer?
Okay, robotic thoracic surgery means the robot doesn't do it. I do the surgery. The robot helps me in the surgery.
Okay.
That lets me clear about that one. Okay. Second one, yes, you're right. It is for, usually at this point in time, it is used for diagnostic and therapeutic purposes.
Okay.
But usually mostly for therapeutic. We use it for removing lung cancer. It is usually done through tiny incisions. You'll have about 3 to 4 cuts of 8 millimeters each. And then we have these robotic arms, which I control through sitting in a console. And then we operate and we take the lung cancer out. The advantages are the same as any other minimally invasive surgery in that the precision with the robotic surgery is much higher when compared to any other 2D platform.
Right, okay. So it still takes that magical surgeon's touch.
I don't know about the magical part, but yes.
It's what we believe of you. It's what we believe of you. So, you know, you've got to let us, you know, continue to believe that of surgeons, gifted surgeons like yourself.
Well, it's Christmas time. I don't want to spoil your aura. So, yes, let us retain some magic for this Christmas. Hopefully, less people get lung cancer.
All right. Now, you were talking about these tests, and these tests that you were talking about in combination have a high probability in the diagnosis of early stage lung cancer growth, and that results in a much higher chance of, is this correct, a much higher chance of a cure for lung cancer.
That is right.
Up to 80%.
That's right. If you diagnose a very early stage lung cancer, there are even some stages of lung cancer which you call very, very early, like, you know, at the beginning of a lung cancer stage. It's called minimally invasive cancers. So if you diagnose those, you even can get as high as 90 to 95%. A typical stage 1 lung cancer, if diagnosed early, and treated by a proper surgical, minimally invasive surgical methods, your chance of cure or 5-year survivals, will be, we call it, is as high as 85 to 90%.
Right. And so that is in and of itself a compelling reason not to do what a lot of us do, which is to wish it away and ignore it.
Yes, I must say, my fellow Singaporeans, don't run away from reality. So face it, when you have a chance, you reach certain age, you feel that you need a checkup, please make sure that you include your lung profile and lung scanning in your annual checkup schedule.
Now, a lot of reasons, there are a lot of various reasons why people might avoid going to the screening, might avoid going and seeing a specialist, even if they suspect they might be ill. One of those reasons is just downright fear. But another one of those reasons might be a more practical one for a percentage of our population, and that is cost. Could you give us an indication of what a typical screening package would cost for someone who might think that they should have it?
Yes. Okay. Let's face it this way. The economics of screening are expensive. Mm-hmm. So a typical screening package can cost you between $1,000 to $1,500.
Right.
Let us translate that. If you have diagnosed early lung cancer with this kind of package, then not only have you saved your life, where you can't put a penny and a dollar cost on it, but if you would have prevented yourself from going to a later stage, you would have inadvertently saved thousands of dollars.
Sure.
So I think screening has been tested in many countries, has proven to be cost-effective, has proven to be help the whole population get their cancer diagnosis early and the treatments early.
Okay, so you're saying it's worth that little bit of an outlay versus,
yep,
how much more treatment would actually cost you?
Absolutely.
At an
and it's
stage.
Not like you're going to go every year, because first time you go through and you turn out negative, we have certain protocols, so you don't require anything for the next 3 years. So you're fine.
Okay. Are there subsidies that a potential patient can tap into?
At this point in time, no, but mm-hmm. I'm sure that people are working on the package.
All right. We're speaking with Dr. Aniz Ahmed, Medical Director and Senior Consultant Surgeon at the International Center for Thoracic Surgery. At an early stage diagnosis, how treatable is lung cancer? What are the options?
Early stage, okay. So the best option is obviously surgery for early stage lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
There are other options too for people who cannot go for surgery. There are certain people, medical conditions which prevent patients' surgery. The other two options usually will be chemotherapy and radiation. So if it is an early stage lung cancer, radiation will be the second best option to surgery.
Okay.
And then followed by chemotherapy, which will be the last option for early stage lung cancer.
What
but
about?
You understand, yes, go
no,
ahead.
I was going to say, what about if the cancer has progressed? Is that still the case,
yes,
or does that reverse and chemo becomes more important?
That's right. So the later the stage, the chemo takes predominance. So for stage four, the surgeons are usually out of it, except for palliative reasons. For stage one and two is usually surgery followed by chemo, chemo plus radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And for stage three is a gray area. So that is where the area of what we call tailored or personalized medicine comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a panel of doctors, of surgeon and medical oncologists, radiation oncologists. We sit together and decide whether you treat that with chemotherapy first, shrink the tumor, and then surgery takes it out, or surgeon takes it out and follows it up with chemo and chemo plus radiation. So we come into area where we sit down and discuss the area we call personalized medicine.
There are a lot of people, the minute they hear chemotherapy, they head for the hills because it's a terrifying prospect. We've all watched the big Hollywood movie, Chemo Death, and how awful chemotherapy can be. Is that still the case?
No. I'm going to bat for my medical oncology fellows. They have some wonderful drug nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not chemotherapy blind anymore. They have targeted cell therapy, and they have things like immunotherapy, which are extremely effective. And they really give good quality life with less kind of complications as seen before. People can still have their hair. They don't need to lose all their things. So it is actually very, very good and very advanced. It is nothing like what's in the movies nowadays. Immunotherapy is kind of like a magic drug. Now, if you talk magic, that is really magic. So you get an injection a month and you get on with your life. You live for many, many years nowadays. So don't think of chemotherapy as something what you see in the movies. Now it is much, much different.
All right. That's great to know. Now, before I let you go, I'm wondering if you have anything else you want to share with us, simply because on the one hand, lung cancer is one of the deadliest cancer killers here in Singapore. But on the other hand, what you're saying is early detection, it's also very survivable. So what advice do you have for us? What words would you like to leave us with?
Okay, first thing, guys, if you are smoking, stop. It helps you in many other ways. Okay. If you're about the age of 45 plus or around there, make sure that you have some kind of a screening program enrolled in, at least so that you will have an idea where your baseline status is, so that you can progress on from there. And number three, do not hesitate to get yourself checked and repeatedly checked. And if you're, God forbid, diagnosed with lung cancer, don't think it is the end of the world. Nowadays, people learn how to live with lung cancer, and we have survivors who are into their 10th and 15th year after lung cancer diagnosis at multiple stages. So I bless you that you don't get any cancer, but please be aware that this is a cancer which you can have, take control and have control over it.
That's fantastic. We've been speaking with Dr. Anees Ahmed, Medical Director and Senior Consultant Surgeon at the International Center for Thoracic Surgery. Thank you so much for the information. Thank you so much for the time and actually the words of encouragement, I thought.
Thank you, Clarissa. Have a good day and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you.
Same to you. Thank you very much. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.